Christmas. Nice to see you all. I hope you think the chat is warm enough. If you do, you must tell me your secret of how to keep warm. Let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we do thank you for bringing us into this place this morning. We thank you that in spite of the snow and slippery roads, we have been able to get here safely. And we do pray for your blessing upon us as we gather together and sing these songs about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into the world. We pray that you would help us to remember who he is and why he came and what he has done for us, that we might benefit from his work and that we might know you and know the forgiveness of our sins. Do we pray, come and be with us this morning and pour out your blessing upon us and give us greater understanding of the things concerning the life, the birth of life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we might know him in our hearts, and we pray that we might rejoice to know that our sins have been forgiven and that we are on a sure and certain way to heaven. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it seems that Gordon has chosen one of his hymns to start with, which is number... Is it number 26? So I'm assuming that some people have got in first, and that's what the numbers are up on the board. So we'll begin with one of Gordon's, if you find it difficult to sing, blame him. It was a day when angels sang new songs of glory, songs of mirth, and shouts of hallelujah rang, the day of Jesus' birth. This day of joyful hope we bring, our lives in homage to our King, in glad allegiance as we sing to greet our Saviour's birth. Number 26. Standing up and sitting down. If you want to stay sitting down to sing, that's fine. If you want to stand up to sing, that's fine as well. Stand up when you want. It doesn't matter whether everybody else stands up. If you want to stand up as soon as the organ starts playing, that's perfectly alright. And if you're tired and lazy and have weary legs and you want to wait until the very last minute, that's okay as well. So there's no need to be bobbing up and down thinking, should I be standing yet? You stand when you want to. Paul hasn't yet worked out the system of the music.
It's quite simple, really. Just <practice. laughs>
Well, indeed. Things are always simple when you know. So we'll sing number 5, Away in a Manger, No Crib or a Bed, The Little Lord Jesus Lay Down His Sweet Head. Scriptures. And we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke. Almost tempted to get Ellen to come and read this, because she did it so well. But I won't embarrass her because I didn't ask her. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And may God bless us and give us understanding of that reading from his holy and inerrant word. Now, who chose number 54? Are you going to come out and lead us all in singing thereof? This is not the easiest. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Number 54.
Thank you.
means yes in Bulgarian, I believe.
Come on,
Dorian,
please.
Opened their presents so far this morning. some people don't open their presents till after they've had their Christmas dinner. Some people don't have their Christmas dinner until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So all the children are getting very frustrated because they want to know what's in their presents and they're not allowed to because mummy and daddy say, no, you can't open them until after dinner. And there's the turkey that you've got to get through. Yeah. There's the Brussels sprouts you've got to eat. Ugh. Then you've got to eat Christmas pudding. Ugh. That's how I like Christmas pudding. The turkey I don't like. As I responded to Marianne's niece's Facebook comment about having turkey today, I said, turkey is fowl. And someone said, do you mean foul or foul? I said, no, no, it was not a typo. I meant what I wrote. Everybody thinks I don't know how to spell. I do know how to spell F-O-U-L. It's quite easy. That's why we're having pork today. But having to wait for presents to be opened can be very, very, very frustrating. I wonder how many people think to themselves that they deserve to get the presents that they do. I think that a lot of people think, well, if I've been good all year long, I deserve to have not one, but lots of nice presents. Indeed, in some families, this is used as a carrot in order to get the children to behave. Now, if you don't understand what a carrot is, you have to think about how donkeys are persuaded to move in the direction that their owners want them to go. They put a carrot under their nose, and the donkey thinks, ah, a carrot. But as it goes to bite it, it's moved out of their way. So they have to move forward. And they never get the carrot because it's always one foot in front of their nose because the donkey is not intelligent enough to understand that that carrot is dangling upon a piece of string that is suspended from a pole that is being held by the owner who is sitting on the back of the donkey. So when people talk about sticks and carrots, the stick is used to beat the donkey to make it do what you want, which doesn't always work. And the carrot is stuck in front of the donkey's nose to make the donkey positively do something. It's trying to get a reward for doing something, and so it moves in the direction that the owner wants. And so when you talk about offering someone a carrot, sometimes you might mean a real carrot, or sometimes you're talking about an enticement to do something. Persuade someone to do something they don't really want to do. And very often a Christmas present or a birthday present is an enticement, is an inducement to children, and often to adults as well, to be good. Why do people need to be enticed to be good? It's an interesting one, that. Do people need to be enticed to do wrong? No, they don't. It just comes naturally. That's the way we are. We're all born that way. Now you get lots of people saying, oh, but this beautiful little baby. That's a pity Trudy's not here this morning, Josephine, who is 18 months. 23 months, nearly two. Ask Trudy if a lovely little baby is not naughty from birth. And Trudy will tell you, oh, yes. In fact, you ask all the people here who are parents, whether their children are here or not, were their children ever naughty? And they'll all be sitting there saying, yes. Even my mother. You ask her, was I a naughty boy when I was a child? And she'll say, oh no, he was never naughty. But then you say, Well, what about this instance?
Oh, yes, well, he did do that.
And what about that instance? Well, yes, he did that as well. And you could spend all day going through all the naughty things I did, and she'd have to agree, yes, I did all these naughty things. They all came naturally. It was being good that I had to be enticed to do. And we tend to think that Christmas presents, Christmas gifts, are given to us because we've been good. Which would mean that you deserve a Christmas present. The Christmas present, the Christmas gift, is your reward for being good. But if it is a reward, it is not a gift. A gift is something given freely and graciously, not as a reward, but as a gift. Freely given. Now, if we turn to the scriptures have a lot to say about giving. And if you want to understand what the Bible says, and you don't have a lot of time, concerning giving, you have to turn to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians and chapters 8 and 9. And Paul talks there about giving, and he's encouraging the Corinthians to give gifts, in this instance, mainly for the church in Jerusalem, which was suffering persecution, and it was suffering from severe shortages. And so he is encouraging them in chapters 8 and 9 to give for the benefit of the church in Jerusalem. And he encourages them to be cheerful givers. And he shows that if we give sparingly, we will reap sparingly. This is chapter 9, verse 6. And if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And he's talking about giving, being kind to people. But he says at the end of the chapter, the very last verse, he's talking about being giving people. He says in verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Now, what is the inexpressible gift that is being spoken of by Paul in that verse? It's a gift. It is freely given. It is undeserved. It comes out of God's kindness, his grace, his mercy. See, the problem we have is that people, by and large, don't understand the teaching of the Bible. People hear the stories about Christmas and they think, oh, isn't that sweet? Isn't that nice? The story has become sanitized and encrusted with all sorts of myths that have nothing to do with the Bible. So every year I have to go through these things. How many kings visited Jesus? The answer is none. Were wise men. So how many wise men visited Jesus? We don't know. And you think, hang on, we three kings of Orient are? Surely that means there were three kings. No, that's a Christmas carol that someone wrote. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say how many. We know there were at least two because it talks about wise men, not wise man. And it says there were three gifts. Well, perhaps there were 23 of them. And they all brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's probably not very likely there were 23, but we don't know. But it has come down to us through traditions, things that people have dreamt up, misunderstandings people have had, that it was three kings. And they turned up just after the shepherds arrived. No, that's wrong as well. The wise men never saw the shepherds. They weren't there at the same time. And it wasn't just a few weeks afterwards.
It was nearly 2 years afterwards. And they didn't, the wise men didn't come to a stable, they came to a house. But all these things have been pushed together by Christmas cards, Christmas carols, nativity plays and all sorts of things. And by songs, little donkey, carry Mary, on a dusty road. So therefore, Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem from Nazareth on a donkey. Doesn't say that either. It's a song. There's all these myths that have grown up around the events of Christmas. We've got here this nativity scene. Half the characters are missing. But we've got cherubim flying overhead. That's not in the Bible either. I had to do something with him. Well, it's true. They were lying in the box, and I was told, well, you've got to put them out. We haven't got a field with sheep in, so that's the only scene we've got. Well, I have to stick them there. And there was not a choir of angels above the stable singing. The heavenly host sang in the field, and then the shepherds went down to see the event. And what was the sign that they were told to look out for? Oh, everybody says, yeah, there was a star. No, the star led the wise men, not the shepherds. The sign was, if you read what it says, the sign was, you shall find a child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. That was the sign. So many people got these things wrong. And so, not surprisingly, they miss out the whole point of why Jesus came. They miss out the whole significance of his coming into the world. They miss out everything that the Bible is trying to communicate. Because the problem is that you and I are sinners by nature, by birth. Naturally, we find it easy to do that which is wrong. Now, some people get upset when they're told that. Particularly those who deny the existence of God, and they say, we don't need all this religious rubbish to do good. To which I reply, please can you tell me what you mean by the word good? Because if you do not believe in God, there is no such thing as good or bad. There's no such thing as right and wrong. They get very upset when you say that to them. They say, well, we don't need religion to have morals. Well, yes, you do. If there is no God, you and I are no more than a collection of atoms. And there's no difference between me doing that on a piece of wood and me doing the same with your face. There's no difference. But irrationally, people that don't believe God say, oh, it's a big difference. Rationally, there is no difference at all. But we know that God exists. We know we're not right with God. We feel guilty sometimes. We have a bad conscience. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to deal with the fact that we do wrong. Jesus came to deal with the fact that we rebel against God, that God is angry with us as a consequence. Jesus came in order to give us a clean conscience and to forgive us for our sins. Jesus came in order to die. We make a big thing about his birth. We should make a bigger thing about his death, because when he died, he took upon himself, as he hung on the cross, the anger of God against our sin. He was punished in our place. And to prove that he had fully dealt with the problem, God raised him from the dead on the third day. And so he is alive now. Death could not hold him. When we die, we'll go in the ground and we'll stay there. Until God raises us up at the end to bring us to judgment and to deal with our sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ took it upon himself to die for our sins and be punished in our place in order that those who believe in him, those who surrender to him, those who submit their lives to him might be forgiven. And that's what we read constantly in the Bible. It's what we read about in the passages about his birth. He came to save his people from their sins. You shall call his name Jesus, which means Jehovah who saves. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, why did God send the Lord Jesus into the world? Was it because we were worth it? No. Did he do it because we have worked hard and this was our just reward? No, our just reward is to be punished for our sins. Now, Jesus came into the world as a wonderful, gracious gift from God, an undeserved gift, an unearned gift, a gift which is freely offered by God and is to be received by us. But until we receive that gift through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, through submitting to his rule in our hearts, through submitting to him in our lives, we do not know the forgiveness of our sins. We do not know the indescribable gift that God has given to us. Those of us who know in our hearts the forgiveness of our sins, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're here today thinking, isn't it wonderful that Jesus came into the world, that God became a man for us? But some of us are thinking, what on earth is he getting so excited about? Or perhaps you're thinking, well, I wish I knew this. But I don't. But you can. You can know just how liberating it is to be forgiven for all the wrong things you've ever done and ever will do. It's a wonderful thing to know that no more do you have to worry about what God is going to do to you in the future. Rather, now you can enjoy knowing God. Knowing God is your Father, and the Lord Jesus is your Savior, and that your sins have been forgiven, and you know that you are most definitely going to heaven. And that's what Paul means when he talks about thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Do we know this gift? It is freely offered to us by God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born into this world for us, for me, for you. But it's a gift that we must receive. And so we need to listen to what God says and to accept that offered gift. Now it seems that someone, so you have to be quick here, someone has chosen. And is it someone sitting close to you? I thought it was Eleanor. Number 37 is being chosen by someone who likes it. Number 37, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Number 37.
Thank you.
gracious God, we do thank you for the inexpressible gift that you have sent us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today, as we remember especially his birth, as we sit around at tables eating our Christmas dinner, as we enjoy being with one another, as we enjoy the gifts that have been given to us, we do pray that most of all we would remember that great gift that you gave to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would reflect upon what you have done in sending him into the world. And that we would understand that you sent him into the world for us. Not because we were worth it, not because we deserved it, but because you are a gracious and loving and kind God. And that even though we rebel against you, yet you sent the Lord Jesus for us. And we pray that in understanding these things, we might turn our backs upon sin and put our trust in him and receive him as your gracious gift into our hearts and discover with great joy and wonder the forgiveness of sins and the joy to know you, to know your love poured out in our hearts, to know that you are with us always, whatever life may throw at us. And we pray, our gracious God, that we might live this life, the life that you have given to us, for your praise and glory, and that we will take every opportunity to tell others about what you have done in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too may discover the peace, the joy, the mercy, the love that comes to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that for each one of us today would be a blessed day. We pray, our gracious God, that you would help us always to remember who Jesus is and why he came. So do help us this Christmas day to know all your greatest blessings upon us. So may the blessing of God Almighty, the blessing of Father, Son, and of Holy Spirit rest upon each and every one of us for this day and forevermore. Amen.